In the next 2 weeks, General David Petraeus, the senior American military commander in Iraq, and Ryan Crocker, the US ambassador to Baghdad, are due to present a crucial progress report to President Bush and the US Congress. Their task is to assess whether any headway is being made towards national reconciliation and reducing the violence in Iraq. The US Congress has set out 18 benchmarks, which are supposed to be fulfilled by mid-September, to ensure continued support and funding for the war. Richard Galpin, who's back in Baghdad for the first time in almost 2 years, has been assessing the situation there using some benchmarks of his own.
As my plane made the steep tactical descent to Baghdad airport, I was thinking about those much-debated American benchmarks and realized that almost subconsciously, I developed my own. Mine are, of course, deeply unscientific and highly personal, if not slightly eccentric, but they help. The first is the width of our street. When I first came to Baghdad, just after American troops had marched in 4 years ago, we lived and worked in a normal street. We walked around freely, even at night, taking just basic security precautions. But this didn't last long. The American military floundered, not knowing what to do after taking Baghdad, because it didn't have a serious plan for the day after declaring victory. And that let members of the former regime seize the initiative, launching a well-planned campaign of guerrilla warfare, which also attracted Islamic extremists. So, over the next 2 years, our lives in Baghdad became ever more restricted. Our street was sealed off and guarded and became increasingly narrow, as each building had huge concrete blast barriers placed in front of it. On my return here 3 weeks ago, I discovered our street was even narrower, because yet more blast barriers have been brought in. It's now also much shorter, cut in half by a huge metal gate, and everywhere, security cameras. Living here is deeply claustrophobic. Where once we could spend time speaking with top members of the Iraqi government, we now fear to tread because of the threat of being kidnapped. And that's because at the end of May, a British consultant and his four British bodyguards were seized by gunmen from inside the finance ministry in Baghdad. Their fate is still unknown. The incident says so much about the current state of the Iraqi security forces. The kidnappers were all wearing police uniforms and drove up in police vehicles. Clear evidence of the involvement of militia groups within the police force, or at the very least, collusion between the two. My second benchmark is the face of an Iraqi friend here. Over the past 4 years, I've seen his face evolve into a picture of dejection. But now there seems to be something even worse, despair. He's trying to persuade members of his own family to move abroad, where he knows they'll be safe, even if it means being apart for years. But this is minor league compared to what our colleagues at an international news agency have been through. A few days ago, I attended a wake for two of their Iraqi staff, a photographer and a driver, who were killed in Baghdad in July. An American Apache helicopter opened fire on them. The US military says it was engaged in a firefight with insurgents at the time. In total, the agency has now lost 7 staff since the invasion. The photographer was just 22 years old, and an exhibition of some of his most powerful images had been put on display for us to see. Most of his short professional life had been chronicling just one thing, the violence tearing apart his own country. And that brings me to my third benchmark, the board in our office. Every day it's used to compile a list of the shootings, bombings, and other violent incidents we hear about around the country. Last week we decided the board was too small. We needed something bigger. My fourth and final benchmark is a more direct look at how the American troops now operate on the ground. It derives from a brief trip we did with General Raymond Odierno, the second most senior American military commander in Iraq. A great bull of a man with a shaved head, he had some very specific people he wanted us to meet. They're known as the Volunteer Security Forces or Civilian Guards. They've sprung up in the wake of the surge of American troops across central Iraq this year, which has had some success in quelling the violence in some of the most troubled regions. Thousands of volunteers, all Sunni Arabs, have been stepping forward and offering to protect their own neighborhoods. Some are former insurgents who've switched sides, Others are young, unemployed men who've had enough of the violence. It is a remarkable turnaround that so many now want to cooperate with the Americans, the very people that previously they've been trying to kill. The Americans, of course, have been eager to sign them up and give them contracts, 20,000 apparently, so far. In the Sunni district of West Baghdad, which we went to, the volunteers are filling a void. There are no regular police there, because the police are mostly Shiite. While the Americans are enthusiastic about this growing force, the majority Shiite population in the country is becoming increasingly alarmed. They fear that a Sunni militia of dubious loyalty to the government is being created across the Sunni heartlands. And if the Americans hand responsibility to them and then pull back, it could be that they've created the perfect recipe for all-out civil war.
Richard Galpin.